Two humorous nurses would like to acknowledge the true custodians of the land in which we record our podcast, the Yorta Yorta people.
We pay our respects to elders past and present and extend our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders listening today. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
You done? Two humorous nurses with Kelly and Alicia.
Welcome to the debrief. This is the debrief that we're doing because we can't be bothered doing an episode. I'm pretty sure we only did a debrief one episode ago.
I think it was like, was it one or two?
If we don't put this out, we're never gonna have anything out.
Well, it was 3 weeks ago.
I'm pretty sure we're set to record next week.
Look, I deal with it the day before.
Okay.
Let's
Monday. I'll see you next Monday.
Because I have an official ADHD diagnosis. Look out. I tell you what, the relief I felt when she comes in, and it was so good. It was over the first minute that we walked in the room.
You were like, you'll hear from me at 1:30, and at like not even 10 minutes after your appointment, you're like, it's official. Like, did you just walk in? She said you have ADHD
literally,
and walk out.
It was like, we walked in, we sat down. She's like, so. And I'm like, fucking, she better get on with this. She better not go through all this shit and then get to the end. She's like, so we've been through everything and you do in fact have combined type ADHD. And I was like, oh, I could actually breathe. And I felt like my eyes tear up a little bit. And then I was like, pull yourself together, woman. And then that was it. That was the height of emotion that I felt. And I actually thought I would burst into tears and be like hysterically sobbing, but I wasn't. I think because deep down I was so
sure. Even though you were saying, oh, I don't think, and what if they tell me I don't?
I know.
I'm like, if they tell you you don't, you need a reassessment. Yeah. They need to lose their job.
Like, I was just so fearful that I hadn't given them enough or I hadn't. Well, turned out
given them too
I'd
much.
Scored in like every category.
High distinctions.
HD for ADHD. HD, I got 9 out of 9 for the symptom categories.
You're always an overachiever.
And then, yeah, I know. And then it was funny. It was like, oh, you had to make a score of like 46. I don't know what it was out of.
Yeah.
You had to make a score of 46. That's the threshold.
Yeah.
I got like 68. And so I'm like, I'm assuming it's out of like maybe 80 something. 100? Maybe. It could have been out of 100. I don't know. But that doesn't make any sense. That would be like if you scored over 40 out of 100, then you've got ADHD. I wouldn't have thought. I would think it would have to be higher. Anyway, point is,
you're neurodivergent.
Yeah.
Can we call ourselves a neurodivergent podcast now?
No, we're neurodiverse. Because you're neurotypical.
Typical.
I know. Typical. Oh, the language is oh. I wish that you could say something like, this is a weird thing to say. But you know how people with autism can say they've got the tism? Well, you can't say that with ADHD. It's like, I have ADHD or I'm an ADHDer. But that
you could just say I'm deficient.
I'm deficient.
In lots of things. I've got the deficiency.
I've got the deficiency.
I've got a deficiency too. It's just iron deficiency. Easily fixed with an infusion. Or probably not. I don't respond well.
So I get, this meeting, she basically said like, oh, we could go through all this, but you're going to get a printout anyway. So I was like
that's
great.
Enough.
Yeah. And then she let us go. So we had to sit back in the waiting room. Then I had to see the psychiatrist. So then just waiting, go in. He's like, so you've had your meeting with, you know, whatever the nurse was. Sorry, can't remember it.
It's irrelevant to you.
It's probably the deficiency. Anyway, and then he goes, so you have ADHD? I'm like, yeah, well, like
where's
my
medal?
Yeah,
come on. I scored high.
It's cost me a fortune for you to give me the nod. That's it. Anyway, and then gave me a script and off I went. We went for lunch and had a really nice lunch. At the termy.
I like a termy lunch.
And then I get my script and like holding on to my script for medication. And he's like, you have to take it in the morning. I'm like, but it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Like, I have to wait until tomorrow. Like, I've been waiting so long. Anyway.
And then in true deficiency style, you took your very first tablet And then went to work for your very first keeping in touch shift.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you're like, I don't know if it's working. But she's like incessantly sending messages. She's like doing lots of things, more connected than she's been in weeks. And then says,
I'm like, I don't know if it's working, but my brain's been really quiet.
She's like, it's just so quiet. But I'm still singing. Yeah. Do you remember
this song? Yeah. I'm out of love. Set me free. So I can't remember this girl's name, but I remember the song I had in my head 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Anyway, well done.
So, I mean, the meds still leave a lot to be desired. Yeah. I think I must be severely fucked up because I need to increase my dose and all
also
that
very
shit.
Small but dose.
Very small dose, and there's, you know, there's room to grow. There's room to improve. But I'm hopeful.
Yeah, good.
I feel, although
the hyperfixations haven't stopped.
Oh, I did.
I feel like you've escalated. I should apologise to everyone that she messaged on Instagram about getting an agency job. She wanted to travel around Australia in a caravan with two toddlers and a husband.
Yeah.
Doing agency.
That sounds good. I maintain.
But I did think I said, sent a message and said, as Dr. Phil says, if it's a good idea, it'll still be a good idea in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll revisit. My husband wasn't that keen.
Leave him home.
He's so
with the kids.
Boring sometimes. I told him
they're always boring.
I said, what do you think would be better for our family? Doing this trip or mediocrity? No, and I say, I said monotony. You know what he said? Monotony.
Because it's too hard.
Boring.
For him. Too hard.
Be exciting. And I said, this life is great, but it's not enough.
He's
and
like, you know let's just wait like, till this ADHD hyperfixation wears
literally,
off.
That's literally, this is my life, Kelly, even with medication apparently.
It's okay though, so long as you don't act. You talk to the board of directors before you act or buy tickets or get your house appraised or purchase a caravan. You talk to us first.
The board of directors is the name that our Snapchat group has with our friends who are also nurses.
Filtered onto every group chat on every platform now.
That's funny. I did not know that. Yeah, anyway, I just
so
feel like
we have to consult the board of directors before we do anything.
I don't know how I didn't know I had ADHD. I swear, like 8 years ago I went to a wedding and I decided at that moment that I was going to become a veterinarian. At that moment, at a wedding, I'm like, fuck me, mate.
Did they have like a petting zoo or something there?
No, nothing. I was just talking to someone about all the great things they'd done in their life or some shit. And then I'm like, I've done nothing with my life. My life is just in a constant state of needing improvement. And that's literally how I live my life.
Yeah.
I wrote journals. I reckon I wrote 3 full journals about how I was going to live 7 lifetimes in my 1 lifetime. And, you know, I just have this perpetual, like, I don't know, it's like relentless feeling of life is short and one lifetime just isn't enough.
Like ADHD.
This is still medicated me. This scares me. And do you know the thing is,
I'd like to message your psychiatrist and just say, I'm going to send in this episode.
Up the
and
dose.
Say, can she double it or triple it?
I've just doubled it. So we'll see what, I mean, it's
but
not,
it's okay to have those thoughts as long as they don't consume you
but
or
they
ruin
become like intense desires and that's the problem
sometimes to just clean or
that or happens but those you know when you said to me Kelly so everyone Kelly sends me this lovely insensitive message the other day when I was clearly spiraling about wanting to travel Australia. She goes, how about you just focus on writing the union speech? That would be great.
She's like, Kelly, the thing with ADHD is you can't choose what your brain focuses on. I was like, oh, I hit a nerve.
I thought it was funny. I'm like, this bitch is out of touch. I'm like, how dare she?
I knew what I was doing.
I know. It's so funny.
We've been writing the speech for the ACE at ANMF and we've been talking about times that I've sent her inappropriate or insensitive messages, like when she was about to go to court, which was quite – I'm not laughing because it was quite a serious day and I sent her a get-out-of-jail-free card from Monopoly in a text message.
And you're the a chance shit was friend.
Like, I don't think there was any chance of you going to prison.
You would be the only person – the only person who would ever do that. Like, and I think – I loved it. it was my favorite thing that happened that day.
Well, I just feel like I need to lighten the mood. Like, you're about to go and find out whether you're going to get a criminal history or, you know, like all these awful things from an accident. I was just like, what can I say? That might make her laugh.
Or maybe make the other prisoners laugh.
Yeah. Well, I did promise to bake you a shiv in a cake.
Yeah.
If you required it. And also I did ask if you could ask the judge, if you did have to go to jail, if you could go to one near a winery to make the trip worth to visit you.
I forgot about that. Funny.
Anyway, that's just how we roll, because that's because we're nurses. Well, I'm glad you have an official diagnosis of the deficiency.
I'm glad you have ADHD.
No, I mean, it is who you are. Like, it doesn't change anything. It's not like you're, you know, it's just who you are.
It's so funny because Mick, I said to Mick one day, he was like, oh, when you know, let's see when you're on medication, blah, blah, blah. And he'd say a few things and I'd say, you really think you're getting a whole new wife, don't you? Like, you really think you're getting a whole new
sorry
person
to say,
coming home.
Your
like,
shit wears off by the night time.
Yeah, I know, it's so fun.
You're going to come home to the worst of me.
Literally. And, like, I think the problem was, though, that I had this perception that suddenly I would be able to study. I think that was what I...
What did you sign
your
up
face,
for?
Your face. Nothing. Oh. I have not signed up for anything yet. No, I'm kidding. But I thought that it would be like my brain would be tapped and it would be like a switch would go on and I'd be on fire for, you know, 6 hours or 8 hours, however long, and then I wouldn't. It's not like that. And I think I had I misunderstood. I think I'm in a few forums and like a lot of people talk about their first experience being on stimulant medication. And they're like, oh, I didn't know this is how other people function, and really raving about it. Whereas my experience has been far more subtle. And like, so I'm still hopeful because I am having some positive effects from the medication, but I'm also not having as much as I would have hoped.
Yeah.
It's
just a learning curve.
Yeah, and I think it's just going to take time, and I have to, you know, that's so, you know,
how to harness
the bullshit.
That.
These people who have ADHD, who can't handle waiting for anything, have to wait so fucking long.
I know. It's like the system's flawed for you guys.
It is. And it also costs so much money.
Christ.
They're like, oh, let's do, if you want to join our group therapy for ADHD, it's $1,000.
Like, we'll give you group therapy.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't need therapy. I did therapy for years. And
my chair.
Kelly's chair.
Sorry.
Is so broken, and she just tried to prop herself up on this handle that does fuck all. Anyway,
it's because my hip is like absolutely killing me. I went to the osteo.
Yes, my osteo that I love. Yes,
and I'm sure she'll listen to this because she listened to the last debrief just as I walked in the door, and she's like, "Oh, this is a little weird because I feel like I know you." But you've never met me. And I was like, that's okay. I feel like I know you.
At least she's acknowledged it.
Yeah.
Most people just start talking to you like they're
your
friend.
And then I realized, she's like, do you have I didn't quite realize that you had to take clothes off, right? So I was like, she did leave me my pants off, which thank you. Please allow me to do that every time. But she's like, take your top off. Do you have a bra that unclips? And I was like, oh, I'm just wearing like one of the like a mesh crop top.
Oh, fancy girl.
Yeah. And like, so it's see-through. So she's like, that's all right, I'll just push it up. So I like lay down.
It's
she starts
not like going to the chiropractor.
Well, I don't know, I've never been to anything.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you ask me?
So I lay down. She starts doing whatever she does, which is fine.
Some sort of magic, I don't know.
Yeah, she like maybe do things beforehand to like check stuff, and then I lay down and she just did like a lot of rubbing, which did hurt, but she needs to go hard next time.
Yeah.
I can tolerate it. I think it's not as bad as I thought. And then she's like, okay, roll over. And I was like, oh, well, you can see my nipples. She's like, honestly, I'm not looking. I mean, I did have a towel across me. And I was like, whatever, it's okay. It's just nipples. I don't really care that much.
It's so funny because the more comfortable I get with her now, I like almost stand there and disrobe just while she's talking to me.
I was like, well, I did get up and put my T-shirt on without worrying about it. Like, no big deal. But I was like, she's like,
what a charm.
We were talking about everything. We got very deep, very quick.
Mm.
And
it's easy to do.
I know. And then I did apologize when she emailed me later to the next day to check how I was and to email me the exercises. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry that I might have asked you about your, like, about you. Like, maybe you didn't want to discuss those things with me, given it was the first time you met me. Like, I'm just a nurse. I'm nosy. Like, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. And like, I just felt, like, awkward. Like, oh, we really did talk about a lot. And, like, I've only met her for the first time. And then I
– It's easy to get deep with someone who's seen your nipples.
I don't know if she saw my nipples. I don't mean – Well, next time I know what bra to wear. I won't be wearing a bloody bra. You can see my nipples in. But, yeah, she's like, I really don't know what's wrong with you. I think I'm going to have to get Ryan, who's a chiropractic husband, he deals with all the cognitive stuff. And I was like, is my brain fucked too? Oh, my God. but, yeah, it hasn't really helped much. I thought it had, but the pain today has been really bad.
So it took me like three times before I felt any real relief.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to do that. And then you know when you check out and they high caps your private health, right? And she's like, oh, it says to talk to your fund. I was like, oh, that's really weird. Like,
because you're not covered for osteo.
No, I'm definitely covered because Cam covers. He gets his osteo. So I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay, well, and then she's like, maybe if you haven't paid. And I was like, but we pay like a month in advance. Mm. Anyway, I jumped on my banking app. I'm like, oh, I paid it Monday. Like, it should go through. I was like, don't worry about it. Give me an invoice. I'll just do it when I get home on the app. Well, turns out my payment on Monday got rejected. I was like, oh, how embarrassing. So I had to get onto the like my health insurance app and pay my monthly fee.
Manually.
And then I had to manually do my own
cool story.
Course. Yeah. Anyway, I thought Cam might have cheated and started using my name at the osteo because he goes like every fortnight.
That's funny.
But, yeah, I hope that she does some good because – my hip pain and leg numbness and foot tingling is like.
It's probably all in your head. Awful. Psychosomatic.
It probably is. The stress that I've been under.
Yeah. Do you know when I was at the children's, there was a whole family of. This is the strangest thing, but it's, you know, it's a real medical thing. I can't actually remember exactly what it was called, but it's a name for psychosomatic illness. Mm. And there was a boy, like a 7-year-old, using a cane. Well, his older brother had a cane. Oh, and his older sister had a cane. And both the parents had a cane. And it's like, it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's different because it's kind of like ingrained. But with you. But some people, like, you know, if they go through extreme periods of stress, it does cause like a Bell's palsy
Well, I would have preferred Bell's palsy than would this pain.
Fuck no.
No, to be honest, I don't know what I prefer, but it's really uncomfortable. Like coming home from Darwin on the red eye.
Oh.
I could have slept because I got a window seat. We got a spare seat. Three flights, Cam and I. Three empty middle seats.
That's amazing. That's really good.
High five it.
Do you want to tell us about your trip?
Oh, my God, it was so fast. So we flew.
I feel like it was.
We flew to Perth on the Thursday. We did the wedding on the Friday. It was actually really nice to stay. Cam stayed with me at my best friend's house. Mm. And because Cam has been back to Perth since 2016.
I was thinking like when he came, I was surprised that he went. Yeah.
So we went and had breakfast at the Dome, which was fucking delicious. And then it's like a WA thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a real not fancy cafe. You could go to the Dome at any Dome in Western Australia. You know exactly what you're getting and what it will taste like.
I like that.
Nothing changed. Like, it would be perfect for you. No surprises. And then we went to the wedding, which was absolutely beautiful, and I cried. I cried so much. So we go to the wedding, and I sit down. Jane's like, oh, do you think we should let other people sit? And I was
whose
like,
wedding was it?
One of my friends, Christy, and her hubby. Her hubby, obviously, now.
Well, and, I've thought maybe it's a lesbian. You go to a lot of gay weddings, so I was curious.
No, I wasn't gay. I've been to one gay wedding.
Oh. Okay, strike that, reverse it.
Flip it and reverse it. I sat down and I was like, well, firstly, I can't stand for the whole wedding. Like, there's no way. I'm already uncomfortable. Secondly,
what were you wearing? Did you have fancy shoes on?
No, I just had my pink pants on.
Oh, you fucking whinjo.
I can't stand. So
I've already forgotten the conversation we just had.
It's 9:14 at night, and
I'm not actually medicated right now. Okay.
The and Jane goes, oh, we should leave the seats for somebody else. I said, at the last wedding I went to, half the seats were empty because no one would sit because everyone thought someone else was going to sit. So I was like, fuck it, we deserve these seats. We're old. And there were lots of children sitting in seats, so they could have sat up. Anyway, as it was, there were a few empty seats everywhere, including some in the front row. So anyway, I said to Jane, oh, my God, I forgot tissues. Well, Christy's mum walks down the aisle with their daughter and I'm sobbing. Ugh. I'm looking at Anton because you should always look at the husband.
Yes, always look at the groom.
And he's sobbing. So I'm sobbing harder. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Cam might have cried. Christy comes into his view and he's like a man in love. And I am like, I'm sobbing, right? So I'm like constantly just wiping my face, like fuck the makeup I put on, wiping my face like this. Anyway, we get halfway through the ceremony. We get to the vows. We'd had some laughs. I still just had tears.
You look like you're
trickling.
Still going
to
cry.
Still just had tears trickling the whole time, but I wasn't crying.
Mm.
We get to the vows. He says the most beautiful vows, and I'm like this, right? The lady behind me taps me on the shoulder, hands me a tissue. I was like, thank you. Then Christy starts her vows in Dutch.
Oh.
Because he's Dutch.
Oh.
All his family's there. All of his Dutch family.
Oh, that's so nice.
His uni friends from Dutchland, wherever they're from, Holland, were there.
Oh.
Oh, Anton loses it. His whole family in front of us lose it.
And you don't know what she's saying, but you're losing it.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm like, oh, my God, Chrissy.
Oh, that's Jane so beautiful.
Cam's like grabbed my hand. He's like, this is love. Chrissy's like, oh, my God. Jane's like, oh, my God.
I fucking love weddings.
Then she says them in English because for the English people, obviously, it didn't matter. Wouldn't have mattered. We all knew what
you're
she
all
said
sobbing
anyway.
Anyway.
Just like whatever. And then it's over pretty fast and, like, that's all fine. Have photos, catch up with people, beautiful, beautiful wedding. Great reception at a beautiful location. Except I'm in excruciating pain. I cannot sit still. There's like high stools. I'm like fidgeting.
You're at a wedding.
Like,
it's not all about you.
I know, but I stayed as long as I could. I stayed till everybody else was leaving despite being in pain. I drank every cocktail on their list. I got drunk. I paid for every cocktail because I wasn't on their tab.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't care. Drank them all. Got really drunk. Ate a pizza that was a ham cheeseburger pizza. It was fucking delicious.
Mm. Are you inspired now?
Yep, I am. Next Friday, cheeseburger pizza. No peas on next Friday's pizza. And then the next day we got on the train. I was hungover. Jane's kid, Ollie, made us bacon and egg sandwiches for breakfast, which I had requested.
Oh, yeah.
And he granted, and it was fucking delicious. Then they drop us at the train station and Cam and I catch the train down to where my parents live, down south. Mm-hmm. An hour. I almost didn't make it.
Because of the pain?
Because of the vomit.
Oh, dear God.
I was so motion sick.
You're a mess.
And Cam's like, are you okay? And I was like, no. And I was like, three more stops. But unlike the stops closer to the city that are only like, you know, 2 minutes apart, these are not. Mm. It was like a 20-minute between that stop that I was like, we're in trouble, and our stop. Get off. I said, Dad, I need a coffee. So Dad picks it up and he's like, that's okay. We've got to go to the shop anyway. I was like, excellent. Getting a coffee. Went, hung out with my family. Everyone come over. We had tacos for dinner. Had the best night.
So your brother's birthday?
Yeah, so it was both my brothers. One of my brothers turned 30 a couple of days before, and it was that day. It was my brother's youngest brother, Sam's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
So we had two ice cream cakes.
I saw that.
And my stepmom bought Lachlan for his 30th. I'm sure they gave him a different present, but bought him for his 30th and said, please don't ever say I never bought you a gun. He's the police officer, Lachlan. Bought him a toy gun set, like a toy police set. So only photos I have on of the birthday, my stepmom has a gun, but it looks like she's shooting it into her mouth, but she wasn't. She was just like posing with it.
Funny.
Anyway, they're so dumb. We got drunk on mojitos. And then we had to get up very early the next day to get to the airport. But my dad made me bacon and egg breakfast.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, 3 days 7 o'clock in the morning. I know. Mm. And then we go to Darwin.
And then you had breakfast in Darwin.
Yeah, bacon and egg.
Another breakfast.
On a brioche English muffin.
Oh, not.
Level up.
Oh, okay.
Freaking with kale, garlic kale
No, thanks.
On it. It was actually delicious.
Kale, no, you lost me at kale.
Anyway, I went to the Mindle Beach Markets and I was so hot. It was 35 degrees and I ate laksa.
Yeah, I know. I made fun of you for that.
It was fucking delicious.
It would have been.
Anyway, then we came home. And then.
But you did see friends up there, didn't you?
We did see friends. And yeah. Cam, you know, we cuddled their little baby and Cam.
Wants another baby.
Always looks so clucky when he's like with them. And I always think.
You're like, this shop's shut. Gross. Fuck off.
And then, yeah, come home to like. Disaster at work. But that seems to be a story of my life. So that's okay. We don't mind.
We've laughed toast of up. What?
I think I just found the – don't talk to him.
What?
I think I just found the birthday card that he said he bought for me.
That he
– what it says.
You're still hot. It just comes in flashes now.
Because we've still got his Mother's Day card here, right? Because we forgot to give it to her. Mother's Day, but look what his Mother's Day cards.
Oh dear God, for Cam's mum.
Cam's mum.
I'm not on meth or dead, so you can call my level to success. Fuck, where did you get these from?
He got them from greetingsfromhell.com.au.
There you go. Just a little plug there. They're pretty funny.
Yeah.
So while you were doing all that, and I was busy getting diagnosed. That I wasn't just cuckoo. Lachlan nearly my Lachlan nearly choked to death.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something else. I forgot about.
Did something else happen?
Well, he's like standing.
Oh yeah, that too. Fuck, this kid, I can't keep up.
Alicia will tell you the choke to death story, which is absolutely horrifying. But then the next day, she sends a Snapchat. Of him like making noise and standing, and I was like, shit, a near-death experience really made him realize he had to get on with his life.
Yeah, so he's like pulling himself up now. Mind you, he's literally 7 months and 10 days today.
Yeah.
And he's pulling himself up, trying to walk. He pushes things around like it's fucked. I'm just gone with it.
Yeah, what are you going to push him over every time?
People say that, and then like I could restrain him a bit more, but I won't. Like
no.
So I feel like
free.
No, and he loves it. And he's so he's careful like Ollie, but he is more confident. Yeah.
That's because he's a boy.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, Tuesday comes, had a great morning at dance. I'm like, we're gonna go home, making myself some lunch, and Lockie's just sitting in the high chair next to him, and I've just given him something to like suck on. Next minute he breaks a bit off and he's like making this strange noise, and I look over and he looked okay, but he was like making this horrible noise. So then I've just like tried to scoop something out of his mouth, but I got it out really easy, and I was like, oh, and the next minute he's like blue and unresponsive. And I was like, that, what the fuck? Like there must've been two bits in there. Like how's that happened? Anyway, I didn't have time to think about it because I start giving him like back blows in the chair. And then that wasn't working, and I looked at him and he was like even more blue than he was. So I got him out, more back blows, still didn't work. And like in that moment, I was like, the next step after back blows not working is starting CPR. And like I never thought I would, you know, weirdly like I've always had this weird thing about choking. Like my whole life, I've always had this fear that I'm either going to choke when my kids are home and die and leave them there with the dead mother on the floor because I've choked to death. And then I've started Googling, like, what do you do if you're choking and no one can help you? Anyway, you run at your bench with your fist in your chest.
Slam yourself against
something. Anyway, so then he like there's like a hypoxic reflex in kids where they either go completely limp or completely stiff.
Yeah.
And he went completely stiff. And so my like gut was like, start screaming and someone next door will hear you and they will come and ring in for an ambulance.
Yeah.
So I start screaming like an absolute crazy mother who's about to lose her baby and start CPR on him on the floor. So I must have done like somewhere between 5 and 10 compressions while I'm screaming, somebody come, somebody help, please, somebody help. And Ollie comes like running out, like, why are you yelling, mommy? What's wrong with Lockie? And like, I'm just next level hysterical. And this all happened so quickly.
Yeah.
But then after the like those few compressions that I gave, his color literally returned to normal and he just came out of it.
Mm.
And like he didn't cry. And no. I'm like, I pummeled him. Like I, yeah. And then I had dialed 000 and they answered. And I was like, my son's just choked, but he's okay now. And then they were asking me questions about his breathing and stuff. And you know what shits me though? Because when you're in the emergency, they're like, tell me the address. I'm like, fuck the address. Like, yeah. Oh, you know, I need someone to help me. It's so weird because you go through the whole police, fire, or ambulance. And then,
yeah.
And then where's the location? And then yeah. What? Tell me what's happening. Yeah, anyway, so... Then the weirdest thing though, and I fucking hate myself for this, she goes, I don't know, something like, you know, is he breathing? Is he alert? What's happening? And then I said, I gave him back blows. They didn't work. And I started CPR. And she goes, do not hit him on the back. And I was like, well, that's what I did because that was that's best practice. That was literally what I said to this woman on the phone. I was so angry and, like, you know, yeah. Full of adrenaline and really, like, just shocked at the situation that had just happened. And that's when I turned around. I'm like, well, I did because that's best practice. And she was like, an ambulance can't come for 45 – for an hour. She said, since he's well, we'll ring you in an hour. And I'm like, he's not crying. Like, there's something not right. And she's like – and then she went through the questions again. I'm like, no, he's breathing. He's fine, but he's not crying. And then I think my nurse brain wasn't working because, anyway, the ambulance did come, took them 45 minutes. And I was a bit like, he's okay. This is ridiculous. Mm. Like, why is the ambulance even coming? And then I thought maybe he's aspirated, but he would be unwell already. Like he'd be coughing yeah. and like something wouldn't be right. And, he seemed fine, like a little bit quieter, but seemed fine. Ambo came and he was like, he took it really seriously and he did everything and he was like, I really don't want to leave you here. Like, I really think he needs to go and at least have a chest x-ray or something. Mm. And I was like, oh, he seems fine. This seems like a waste of time and yeah. resources. And he couldn't transport us. We would have to wait for another ambulance to be transported. And I was like, we'll just go. I'll take Ollie's car seat out of the car. And you know, the village really kicked in because I had messaged you guys after I got off the phone to the ambulance. Within 3 minutes, here's Elle at my door, like ready to take Ollie wherever Ollie needed to go, just entertaining her while the Ambo was there. Like, she was so good. And anyway, Ollie ended up going to Elle's place and played with her little girl, and then my mother-in-law picked her up from there.
Well, I messaged Elle because I don't know why I messaged Elle, but I messaged her and she said, oh, I'm looking after Ollie. And yeah. I was like, well, thank God. Cause like, I mean, I couldn't leave work. I probably would have if it was worse. Like I was like, oh fuck. Like it was awful.
It was just funny how it all, and then here she is. I'm like, Holly, okay, great. How nice. Like it's just, you girls are so good to me. And like, anyway, so we went, like Mick and I drove Lockie. And then I thought I should have waited for the ambulance because if something happens now, I'm going to be in a fucking precarious situation on the side of a highway in the middle of friggin' nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, I should have waited. But I think the nurse brain in me was like, if I saw this kid at triage, I'd be like, he's well.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess I downplayed it a little bit because I was like, he's fine. Everyone's going to think, what a joke. Why is this child even here?
Yeah.
No, we got to Shep and saw – and, like, I get to triage and I told the whole story. This nurse was, like, mind blown at what had happened. And he was like, he put his hand on my shoulder and he goes, you know you've just saved your baby's life. Mm. And he goes, I couldn't have done anything better myself. Like, you've
I don't look know if I would have even thought to do CPR. Well,
so then, no joke, Kelly, we waited maybe 15 minutes and then we got taken into resus. And I'm like, and I said, I knew the nurse in charge. And I was like, this is the only bed you had available, right? And she's like, no. And I'm like, what are we doing in resus? Mm. Like, it did not occur to me I knew that it was really serious, but I didn't think that it was the after effects were serious. Anyway, and they had a FaceTime and he was amazing. And they were all in awe of me. I had no time to be like, impressed with myself because I was still yeah. so fucking shocked about the whole, yeah. everything that happened. Every time someone said something to me, I just buried my head in my hands and I had cried. I cried like the whole way to ship. Mm. I cried while we were there. I cried all the way home. I reckon I cried for 3 days later after. I'm just, it was shit.
Mm.
But they, you know, they were amazing and they said, you know, obviously he was like hypercapnic and was euphoric when he was coming out of this whatever happened. And they said that it was a laryngospasm.
Yeah.
And that made so much sense to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that makes sense why I managed to get the piece out and he was still like, he still couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And why the compressions worked and the back blows didn't. Yeah. And it like, and I think, fuck, thank God it, thankfully it was a laryngospasm and, you know, he survived. Like, I literally thought that he was gone. I was like,
have you seen laryngospasms?
I've seen one in a child.
Oh, in a child.
Yeah. After like a post tonsillectomy.
Yeah. So I've seen him in recovery, but we also see it quite regularly on patients who have a specific chemo that becomes cold. Oh. They get like a cold neuropathy from it, right? So often if they walk out from a warm oncology unit into the cold Victorian cold,
oh my God,
their throat's spasm, or if they drink a cold drink or something, they get in their hands but also their throat, and we just teach them it's not a true occlusive spasm. It's like a it's like a laryngospasm spasm, but it's not an occlusive one,
right?
And we tell them to like breathe into their like warm hands to get that warm air in. But it's very scary for so people. Scary.
And like the one that I'd seen in a kid, I was a grad and I was recovering this kid and I normally, when I recover a kid, I will sit on their bed or I'll like sit on the floor next to their bed and just so that when they wake up, I'm like right there just kind of talking to them. And I remember he was like slowly waking up and then next minute it was like his chest started rising, but it looked like he, I don't know, it looked like he... Well, it looked like he was choking.
Yeah, exactly.
And I remember being like, there's something not right. Someone come, like, what's going on here? And then the anaesthetist just happened to be standing by and then they just give, like, positive airway pressure and usually it – otherwise the alternative is to resedate them and tube them, I think.
Well, you did amazing.
I can't say to myself that I did that. Why?
Because –
I went home and I was like, I saved his life.
You did. You literally saved his life.
And I don't know. I'm just grateful.
Yeah.
I can't even be happy about it. Like, you know what I mean?
And this is like a perfect example of what we talk about, like with humor in challenging situations. It's not funny for you yet.
Mm-mm.
Like, I'm not going to crack any jokes other than they're like, oh, he's, you know, like his little life flashed before his eyes and now he's doing, he's walking everywhere because he thinks, fuck it, I've got no time to waste. But, you know, like I'm not, we understand. None of us have any understanding about what you went through, but we as a parent can understand that fear of wanting to lose, of possibly the thought of losing a child, right? We haven't seen it in front of us, but this isn't your first child that's choked on you.
No.
Like, what the fuck are they doing?
I know.
Can we just tell them to stop?
Yeah, I've tried. We had words.
But tell them what Ollie did to you.
What,
when you were waiting.
Oh, my God. Okay, I forgot. I kind of forgot about this. So I'm off the phone to the ambulance and Ollie's like full of questions and we go down to our front room, which is my bedroom, waiting for the ambulance to come and like I'm sobbing, holding Lockie and Ollie's there giving me a cuddle and she holds my face and she goes, "You're such a brave girl, Mum." Mm. And I'm like, oh, like, I just want to cry thinking about it now. It was such a beautiful moment. And I'm like, I don't know. I was so proud of her too. She did not get hysterical. She did not cry. She didn't, she had some questions, but she was like, she was, I could, Kelly, the sounds that were coming out of me, the screams that were coming out of me.
Yeah.
And then she'd said to Elle later, like, Mummy was saying, help me, please, somebody. She wanted somebody to come and help ring an ambulance. Like, she had a full understanding of what was going on. Probably didn't understand that Lockie was, like, nearly cooked.
Yeah.
But, like, we talked about it afterwards and then she brought it up with Elle and then again with her nan. But the next day, like, we talked about it again and I just wanted to, like I said, do you want to ask me anything? Like, are you okay? Were you sad? You know, and she was like, just you know, mummy was, she thinks that the ambulance came because I was yelling, which I think is quite cute. But, you know, she was great and she enjoyed seeing the paramedic. Yeah.
She also told Lockie you need to apologise for upsetting you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, she did. You say sorry. You say sorry to mum. He's sorry, mum. She's just so beautiful. And, you know, in those moments you just think how grateful you are.
Yeah.
And this is like, I said to Mick, like, even though Lockie did try to die, like, I'm really grateful for our family. Like, yeah, that, you know, we've got happy, healthy kids.
And we should take that time and go around Australia in a caravan.
So when I brought the funniest thing, Sarah, who's our palliative care consultant nurse friend, who she did an episode, if you listen to it, like, she's
passion
amazing.
For palliation.
Passion for palliation. She turns around and says, the amount of patients that I see that are about to go on their, you know, big adventure, like they're going to go traveling Australia and then they find out they're dying. Yeah. Like, she's like, just tell him that. And I'm like, actually,
I might.
That would be the best argument. And she goes, yeah, just tell him to come for a day with me.
Ride along.
Yeah, a ride along.
Palliative care ride along.
I said to Mick, I'm like, do you know, Sarah said this. And he goes, what are you trying to say? That I could be dying? I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
That was not the point.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm like, if anything's going to motivate this guy to do something, it's his mortality. Didn't work.
Oh.
Try again. If you've got any convincing arguments for my husband as to why we should travel Australia.
I don't have any convincing arguments against it.
No.
To be honest.
Me neither.
You got to do it while they're young. Like, it's too late for me now. Amelia's high school next year. Like, there's no way she wanted to.
You'll just
all
do
that
it when
up.
You're a great nomad.
Grey nomad. Yeah. Great. I'll be a great nomad. Why? Not grey. There's no way I'm going to be grey.
Mm. You're on your way.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can't talk any longer. I am very glad that Lockie is fine.
Me too.
And as cute as ever.
It's so weird though. I fully like went into depresso mode.
No.
And I was like, I didn't want to do anything. I was like, that's it. I'm cooked. This is the end for me. Can't function any longer.
Like,
I was catastrophizing pretty badly.
Yeah. The deficiency really got you.
Mm.
Didn't let you out of it.
It was all right though. I'm all right though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I feel okay about it now.
Okay.
Why?
No,
look
I
convinced.
Just want to make sure you are.
Yeah,
okay,
I am.
Okay, good.
I feel like, I don't know, they say, like, you know, with time things
time.
Feel better. And,
yeah.
And, like, I don't get the I do. It's hard giving him solids.
Yeah. You had a picture in the board of directors chat with the piece of toast and you're
tempting
like,
fate.
He's sick of purees now.
He won't eat the purees anymore. He's like, Mom, I've had enough. Because
I'm
after
sorry.
That happened, after that, so after that night, I'm like, we'll just get back on the horse.
Yeah.
I gave him a chip. We went to Nando's. Oh. I gave him a chip. He fucking, like, starts gagging. And Michael's like, can we please not? We're going to go back. So he's been
on
very soft. Yeah. I tell you what, it was the biggest waste of fucking money.
I've been to Nando's.
Haven't been to Nando's for years. And we settled on Nando's because I was like, haven't been to Nando's in so long.
Should have gone to Barker Love, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, I know.
Just down the road, better.
It's so, like, greasy. Anyway.
Barker Love?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's, like, fully American. Anyway. Anyway, it's delicious, but whatever. Went to Nando's because it's all we could settle on and it was quick. We wanted something quick so we could go home and get Ollie ended up staying at her nan's. But anyway, waste of money.
Should have just got Dirty Bird.
I spent $25 on my meal. $25 on my burger with this tiny, would have been 100 grams of chicken breast and it was so thin. And I'm like, what the fuck? And it came with a side of chips, which is like
beautiful.
Minimal, and then a drink. And like, and they had nothing in the fridge. They had no 600 ml drinks. But I'm like, I want the big chips. Anyway, so won't be going back to Nando's.
I wish we had grilled.
I was really disappointed. Oh, there's one in Echuca.
Is there? No. There's no grilled in Echuca.
Oh, I swear there was.
There is a good burger place though, Brew Burger.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, anyway. So
she just got bloody McDonald's for $25. No, she could have got a McFlurry.
We wanted to dine in.
Chicken nuggets.
And I didn't want to dine in at Macca's at 9 o'clock at night because it's a bit rough.
Right, well.
Anyway.
I'm glad everything's okay.
Me too.
I'm happy that you're deficient.
Me too.
And I'm typical. And
typical.
If you're a nurse, EN, RN or midwife.
Student
nurse, please register for the ACET nursing event for June 5th. We are talking there.
It's going to be pretty special, actually. I'm excited about our content and it's really special.
It's going to be a good day. Lots of things on how to get yourself prepared for the grad program, mock interviews, catered lunch.
I know, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. And then you get to listen to us at the end of the day tell you our tales of finding humor in challenging situations.
And we're actually talking about things we don't really talk about on the podcast.
No, I don't think we've ever touched on some of the stuff.
No.
It's really good, actually. We put a lot of work into it. And I think if you're a student, the event itself is worth going to, and we're just the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. The cherry on top.
Yeah. We are the chocolate on the cappuccino or the tequila in the soda water.
Lame.
We might be the ice. Yeah, we're the ice in your ice latte. I'm the avocado on your sourdough.
Yuck.
Maybe I'm the sourdough to your
avocado. That's an acquired taste.
I love it. Can you make me a bacon and egg?
What do you reckon catered lunch even means? Do you think it's like wraps?
I don't care what it means. It means free.
Do you know what I'm not looking forward to about that day?
The drive.
Getting up at 5:30 to do my hair and makeup.
She's like, I want to get my makeup done. I'm like, firstly, I'm not. And secondly, at 5 a.m. because we have to be on the road by 6:30.
I know.
Probably 6 o'clock at the latest, actually.
6 o'clock.
Oh, I'm going
to have to get up so early.
I'll drive. You can drive yourself to me and then I'll drive you.
Yeah, I was going to stay the night, but it's not going to work because it's midweek.
I know, it's awkward. I have to work the next day.
Yeah, when I had a hotel booked because I was like, I need it after just, I don't know, it's been a big month. And already.
Would you like to just spend a night away but together but we don't talk? We only talk if we want to and we like share a platter but we just go somewhere like Bright or something just for a night.
That sounds great.
Just the two, like, well, I don't care, the girls can come too, but there's like no effort made, no planning. I just book a night, we just go.
Yeah.
Because I need to go too.
And I don't have to talk to you.
We don't have to talk. We can just sit in comfortable silence.
When we literally said we're going to do a debrief for 10 minutes and it's been 47. So good luck to you. Yeah, sounds fucking awesome. I found a beautiful hotel in Melbourne too and I had it all booked. And then Nick was like, it's really not going to work. I can't. He's like, I can cover you for the day off, but not the next day.
Yeah. Well, I'm picking a weekend in a few weeks.
Then I thought maybe I could just go the night before.
Yeah.
And just go. Like, just go.
Yeah.
In the afternoon.
Tell them to come home early and go down there. Mm. Do that.
I'm thinking about it. And then I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock. I can get up at whatever time.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, we'll do that. Just tell them to come home and get down there for like, I mean, as it is, you can't check in till 3 most times and check out at 10. Yeah, so it's like true. Such a waste of time. Make a difference.
But it'd be nice to just go and eat Krispy
Kreme. Well, we're going to go anyway to see Emrasciano.
I'm so excited.
I bought tickets. That's and I bought nice an extra surprise. One because I thought, who might come? Jess.
Mm-hmm.
Jess might come.
She's pretty excited.
And then I booked us a hotel room, walking distance from there. Mm. And
where is Emrasciano?
The Palais.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
It's lovely. Mm. I did try and get VIP. VIP, but I wasn't.
What does
quick
VIP
enough.
Get you? Just closer.
No, you get to do like a you get to go early and do like an AMA with her. Like she comes on stage, she does like answers questions, she talks to you.
What
you get like some merch and there was also a meet and greet one as well, so you got to meet her. But yeah, Cam and I did the VIP when she came last time. We got a bag and a tote, a book, and like we got
is that why you've got that book there?
And watch. I think she did like a sound check on one of her songs and she talked to us and we got to yell out some questions and like it was really fun.
Yeah, cool.
Anyway, I think it's going to be fun anyway.
I'm excited. She's like almost been the
This show is like her like neurodivergence show. Yeah. So the show I watched was about her divorce, her dead baby. It was her one where she was because she basically had a miscarriage and nearly lost her marriage, wrote a musical about it, and then went and toured it.
Oh, my God.
But her marriage is fine and now she has another baby.
Wow.
Yeah. And she was on – like it was Raging Rainbows. It was absolutely like
– next level.
Next level. You could just see her brain. So I'm excited to see this one when she's in the next phase of like no longer working in radio, neurodivergent, like – doing all the things that she's always wanted to do. Yeah, and the tickets weren't that expensive. She's so reasonable.
That's good.
I really wanted to do I really wanted the VIP.
That's good because you paid for mine.
I know, that's my little like, yay, you're deficient.
Happy deficiency day.
Happy deficiency. So if any other listeners are going, yeah. Actually, I do want to thank everyone that slid into our DMs. The support that Alicia got on her story, like the DMs were so insane. Nice. You got so many and like genuine people like supporting you and like sharing their stories and like just –
there's been, it's like, just welcome been so to the reaffirming. Clubs and yeah, like, it's just been so affirming. It's been so nice. Yeah, well, the butt doctor butt was like, something like, one of us. I don't even know his name.
Brad.
Oh, Brad. Thanks, Brad.
Don't quote me on that.
Just a few of my favourite people too, and then a few, like, people that I haven't really engaged with, and then a few people like with some really nice advice or like someone had sent like, make sure you listen to this podcast, like the Neurodivergent Woman podcast has been really eye-opening for me as well. Like there's just been some really great suggestions and so much support and a lot of love, and it's just really nice. I feel like I'm in a little community now.
Where's my community? Why am I next. Left out? What about me? Yeah. What about me?
Yeah, your community is it the white fair. Privileged community.
With the neurotypical brain. Shit. I'm just average anxious white woman with my iced latte and my avocado on top.
What could be more typical than that?
Right, we have to go.
Country music. Yeah.
Oh yeah, the new Morgan Wallen. Oh my god, the new Taylor Swift album.
Taylor Swift.
I'm obsessed.
Actually, I need to listen to it. I can't. You know what? Back in the day, I would listen to an album start to finish.
Ooh.
Now it's like 20 seconds. That's not my song. Put Wheels of the Bus on. That's how it goes in my house if I'm trying to listen to a fucking song. And then randomly, Michael plays. Miley Cyrus Flowers, and Ollie was like, this is mum's favourite song.
Is he trying to send you a message?
No.
With that song?
No, he just played it in the shed one day with him and Ollie. Oh. It was like on, and then she was raving about how that's my favourite song.
Oh.
I'm like, yeah, if I could fucking listen to it. Yeah. Like, I thought
my favourite song was Wheels on the Bus, mate.
I haven't listened to it in 8 months, but sure.
It's when your Spotify wrap-up is like all your kids' stuff.
My Spotify wrap-up is Jonathan Groff, and if anyone doesn't know who that is,
no.
It's the guy who played Kristoff from Frozen.
Oh.
So, and he's also an incredible Broadway musician. He played King George in Hamilton. Anyway. Okay. Anyway, he's amazing. It's him.
Yeah.
Justine Clark.
Yeah. I love Justine Clark. She's my favourite.
And I'm trying to think of who else it might be now.
Probably the Wiggles.
No, Ollie hates the Wiggles because they got rid of Emma. She's like, they're different. They're new people. Where's Emma? Sorry, kids of Australia.
All right, we're going to go. I got to go to bed.
Don't leave this unfinished. The happy song.
Oh, Christ.
Baby Crack. It's the best.
Baby Crack. Good.
Great.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.